Hi, Eddie. Bye, Eddie. Nice of you to drop by, Eddie. Oh, and let us know when you want to die, Eddie. This week on It's So Bad, we play the game known as Night Trap. Mr. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you? It's good to be back in the hot seat.
I'm doing pretty well. You know, we are adding our 36th game to the endless list this week. It is entitled Night Trap. It originally came out on the Sega CD device. But yes, you can also subscribe to this podcast. It's So Bad is the title on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc., wherever your podcasts are available. But yes, we are here today to discuss a game. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit. We just had a momentous occasion last week. It was Gamer Christmas. It was the E3 Expo, the Electronic Entertainment. I don't know what the third E is.
Expo.
That's it. Expo. Yes. Electronic Entertainment Expo. Something where when I was a kid, I always wanted to go to E3, but now it seems like it's kind of played out.
Wasn't it not open to the public in its entirety? I remember when I was younger, you know, thinking of, you know, trying to convince my parents or whatever that it should be, that we should go to it.
And go to LA.
It was just not a possibility.
Right. Even. I feel like we get a better experience from what I've heard by going to PAX, which we are lucky to do because we have PAX East in our backyard.
Right.
But yes.
Well, even PAX too, like I struggle to go to PAX and have much success with any big game.
The lines are always so long.
And it's always so crowded. So right. I feel like if you really want just like big game news out of it, stay home and watch it on Twitch.
The E3.
Or PAX, any convention, really.
Yeah. What did you like out of the E3 Expo?
The things I'm looking forward to most from E3 are Doom Eternal, which looked awesome. Looked like more Doom.
Yep.
It inspired, you know, watching the panel on it and inspired me to restart Doom 2016 this weekend, which was cool. Great. I watched a bunch of the Nintendo Treehouse stuff on Mario Maker 2. That's a pretty imminent release.
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks away.
This month, yeah.
So, I'm excited for that game. I'm going to get it when it comes out.
Me too.
Another game that I got that I wasn't planning on getting, but it just came out last week, was Cadence of Hyrule.
Oh, yeah.
I've been
playing that the past couple days.
Oh, you have?
As well. Yeah.
It's very interesting. The first hour or so, I was like super struggling with it because I never played Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Right.
And this game is a cross with Crypt of the Necrodancer, which is kind of like a rhythm game. And I then got into it and I was like, oh shit, you have to like learn the patterns. And this is kind of like a puzzle.
Yep.
It's not really like a rhythm game, but it kind of is like a rhythm game. Yeah.
You need to keep the rhythm.
Yeah. And now I'm like really into it.
It's super, super good. Yeah. I'm now looking at it more like just a weird 2D Zelda game.
Absolutely. It's more Zelda than Crypt of the Necrodancer from what I've seen.
I played Crypt of the Necrodancer a bunch. It was very hard. That's kind of what, you know, got me off of it. I just wasn't able to progress any further. And Cadence of Hyrule is also difficult, but I find it's more... it's easier to break into once you get over that initial hump.
Right. Cool. Yeah. So when I was watching, I'm a unrepentant Nintendo fanboy, as we are all aware here, if you've listened to this podcast, and just watching that Nintendo Direct is like, you know, the consummate Nintendo fan will be like, every Direct will be like, you know, like there's sometimes they hit it out of the park, but it's like a 10% chance they're going to hit it out of the park. And, you know, you're always waiting for that one moment where you're just like, oh, yes, this is awesome. And so watching that Direct, I was like, the Vince McMahon gif when he's like looking at the things coming, looking at the guy coming down the aisle, where he's like, and then falls over. That was me. Yes, that was me.
What was your fall out of the seat moment?
Breath of the Wild sequel in development. I was like, as soon as they started, the music started playing and the swirls, I was like, holy fuck, this is Zelda. They're going to announce a new Zelda. And I was like, yes. Even though it's probably not, like, realistically, the earliest it could potentially come out would be holiday of 2021.
Huh.
I would think.
Cool side fact I heard recently about Breath of the Wild is apparently if you emulate the Wii U version, that's the best performing version of Breath of the Wild.
Oh, really?
You can get it in like a full 60 frames per second if you emulate on a PC the Wii U version.
Weird.
Yeah.
The Wii U version, I would imagine, would be the only one that's emulatable because there's an emulator for the Wii U.
Exactly.
Dolphin, I think it's called.
I know Dolphin was Wii. I don't know if Dolphin is also Wii U.
Okay.
Probably.
Maybe. There's parts in that game where the frame rate is bad.
Chunky.
If you get to like the where the Master Sword is, I forget what it's called, the area, but it's like really bad on the Switch. It's hard
to keep up. I haven't gotten that far yet, so
that's so good. That game was so good to me, at least. They said that it's supposed to, like, they were talking to Anuma, that's his Eiji Anuma, the guy who makes the Zelda games now.
Okay.
He was saying that it's supposed to be darker than Majora's Mask, which is interesting to me.
Bring it on. I'm ready.
I'm ready too, baby. I'll beat the first one
by then.
But yeah, I mean,
it's like 2 years out, right?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, so at least. We have no clue when it's going to come out, but I mean, I'm pumped for Mario Maker 2. They have so many games that are coming out that I'm excited for. I know it's probably going to be bad, but I'm going to get Bloodstained when it comes out in 2 weeks or a week or from now. If it's good, it'll be surprising.
The big question for me is, will it be as good as the stretch goal version that they came out with? That's like the NES Castlevania
style. Yeah, Curse of the Moon.
Yeah, I loved that. I thought that was super good.
It was good. So Ritual of the Night comes out soon. And it's gotten, like, every time they show it, when it first showed it, I was like, well, this is rough. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten substantially better as they've gotten further in development. But I'm still curious if that game's going to be a piece of shit or not.
Really could go either way.
Yeah, but I mean, just beyond that, so Mario Maker, you've got that game. Mario Maker, I'm excited for. Astral Chain comes out at the end of August, which looks interesting, and I'm curious if that's going to be a good or a bad platinum game, because they could go either way. Mm-hmm. It's 50-50. And then Link's Awakening comes out. I'm kind of excited. When it first comes out, but I will definitely play Ni No Kuni when it comes out on the Wii. Mm-hmm. Oh, on the Switch. Sorry. Brain fart there. When it comes out on the Switch, because that'll be a good portable version. Link's Awakening just looks awesome. They have the Pokemon game, which I'm not really super excited about because I'm not really super into Pokemon these days.
I think I'm going to try and get into Sword Shield, right?
Yeah, Sword and Shield.
Yeah, the last ones I played, I think, were Pearl and whatever the other one was.
Right. And they have Luigi's Mansion 3 coming out. They have so many games coming out over the next 6 months, so I'm very excited about that. And then, there's a bunch of games that were announced in the Xbox press conference, or was it Xbox?
Yeah, there's, a Blair Witch game that they're coming out with.
No, what am I thinking of? Maybe it was Ubisoft. The one where they announced Ghostwire Tokyo and Deathloop.
Deathloop was that Square
Bethesda?
Enix?
No, that was Bethesda. This is Bethesda I'm thinking about. So Bethesda announced Deathloop, which looks great.
I don't even know what it is, though. It's, what is it, 1v1? It's like a very stylized
looking
game.
How they described it was, it's from the people who made Dishonored.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be Dishonored meets Hitman.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, like the new Hitman. So that sounds exciting.
Yeah,
and
I will play that.
Yes,
or at least try it.
The trailer looked interesting. So that one looked interesting. Ghostwire Tokyo with the scene with the ramen.
Is that the one where the Japanese woman?
Yeah.
And people disappear and they don't. She's it's spooky and.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, it looked neat.
Looked really interesting. So I'm excited for those two games. I'm trying to think of anything else that I don't know. But
Doom is the big thing for me that I just Can't wait for more Doom.
I'm more excited for...
Oh, Wolfenstein?
From what I heard, Wolfenstein sounds fucking awesome this year. And beyond that, I'm just super invested in that story. So I don't even like the gameplay, the minute-by-minute gameplay, but the story is awesome. I fucking love that story.
I'm actually playing through to the new Colossus. Is that what it's called?
Right? Have you ever played through it before?
No, no.
Where are you?
I'm in... what did I do last? I like went into the clubhouse or whatever you, I guess I'm, the last thing I did was like refilling the helicopter to take the helicopter somewhere.
Okay.
Oh, I know what I am. I'm about to do the Ku Klux Klan parade thing.
I don't even remember
that. Roswell, New Mexico or something.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
I like got to the beginning of that and I was like, all right, like I need to go to bed. Next time I play, I'll have a great time from this point on.
It gets fucked shortly.
Okay.
In that game.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, you learn more about his past, because the first hour of that game is fucked, too.
Yeah.
With the holding the gun to the dog, ugh, that part was bad.
Right.
They force you to pull a trigger?
Yep.
That's terrible, but yeah. So this is E3 that we were talking about, but yes, no, I'm excited for, what's the name of the new Wolfenstein game?
Youngbloods?
Youngbloods.
Is that what it is? And yeah, it's a co-op shooter.
Yeah, it's the daughters of... Of
BJ Blazkowicz.
BJ Blazkowicz learning how to kill people.
Kill Nazis specifically.
Kill Nazis specifically. They aren't people. They're Nazis.
Right.
That's right. So that one looks really exciting, and it's going to be only, I think, for the standard edition, it's $30.
Yeah, it's...
So it's supposed to be co-op, too, and I don't know how it's going to work if I just play single player. It's going to match me with somebody.
I believe there's an AI...
Oh, okay.
...character you play with.
That's...
I think it's four, like, no matter what, there's two characters.
Yeah, right.
Because I know there's ways to buff each other.
Yeah, and you pick each other up, because I guess it's like there's a lot of enemies that come at you.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting. Also excited for, even though I fell off of it, once Apex Legends gets a new update in July with Watson.
Yeah, does that character not come out? That wasn't like an immediate release?
No, July 3rd, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I fell off that game hard. I like it, it's just... Right. There's so many other games to play.
They don't update it enough, and that sucks because they're doing that to conserve, I guess, resources or make sure people aren't getting overworked, but at the same time, they're not keeping up with other games. There's so much content out there.
Well, yeah, keeping up with Fortnite seems to be the big thing that they have to chase.
Yeah.
They're failing to do that.
They just can't do it. Even though I hear less and less about Fortnite these days, but I might just be because I'm just not in that circle.
Yeah, you're out of the loop.
Yeah. Fuck Fortnite. Sorry, guys. Just lost the 3 subscribers that we had when I said that. But nevertheless, let's get into Night Trap here. Our endless list is our series of games. It goes all the way from Super Mario 64 to Pro Wrestling for the Sega Master System today. 35 games. Every week we add, or most weeks we add a new game to the list. The list is judged by how well the game's held up, how well the game was looked at the time in terms of gameplay, in terms of story. Its impact on gaming in general, and we try to factor that in as well as many other factors. Is it a complete vision of a game, or is it just kind of doesn't necessarily get to where they were aiming for? But what is Night Trap, Matt?
Night Trap is a... I've always thought of them as FMV games, right? Like, I guess in the...
Full motion video.
When it was... advertised as an interactive movie,
Yeah, I know. Well, this was one of the first FMV
games. Okay, so they didn't have a term for it at the time,
right,
I guess?
Yeah, because this was started development in 1986, so.
Right. By what, Hasbro?
So, it was funded by Hasbro, eventually, but it was not originally...
it was like an Atari project or something, like a
side
project.
So it was a side project of Atari, and then they went and they got funding from Hasbro to create a studio called Digital Pictures. Okay. And then Hasbro dropped out before the game was released, and then Sega picked it up. So we'll get into that.
So Night Trap is a FMV game, which essentially means there's, you know, live recorded footage of humans in the real world, and you're essentially interacting with pre-recorded video and, like, manipulating the events that happen based on button presses. Is that a...
Well, I don't know if you're manipulating the events, but you're changing your perspective, and I guess, yeah, you are manipulating because you're activating trapdoors.
Right,
yeah,
you change the outcomes.
Yeah.
And as far as, like, a plot overview, you're part of SCAT.
SCAT.
The Sega Control Action Team. like a SWAT team that's found that people are disappearing in a house, and Kelly, your undercover agent, is bringing a bunch of her friends to the house and hopefully prompting, you know, another disappearance so you can figure out what's happening.
Yes.
That's, I'd say, the plot in a nutshell.
There's vampires.
Augurs, right?
Yes.
They can't. Augurs and vampires.
Yes, but they couldn't rest. I don't think they ever save vampires. They might.
They do. Yeah, I think they do.
There's a reason why they're not all vampires, though, so...
Right.
But yes, we are adding this game because it's a seminal FMV game. It's probably the most well-known FMV game.
I think it's the only FMV game I've ever played, now that I
think of it. Did you play it before we had it?
No. Okay. No, I only played it, like, in the past, you know, couple weeks. I know when I was very young, there... My family was toying with, like, we were looking at a 3DO or something. Like,
as a family? You were looking
at... Yeah, well, like, I didn't have enough money to buy a 3DO.
Were you,
like,
egging them on to get a 3DO?
Well, like, we were at Walden Software.
Okay.
And we're, like, you know, getting, you know, looking at buying a system. And what's the, it's the night game. The, like, rotoscoped animated night FMV game. What's it called?
Oh, like Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T?
Yeah.
Dragon's Lair.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I thought that was, like, one of the coolest things I've seen, and that was the first time I had ever heard of, like, the FMV game.
Don Bluth game.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
He did The Secret of Nim and a bunch of other cartoons. He did Space Ace, and he did Dragon's Lair.
All right.
But, yeah, he's a big-time animator.
Anyway, that's the first time I knew this genre.
Dragon's Lair is, like, the first ever.
Okay.
Like it's not full motion video, it's animated, but
right,
it's
the same genre or concept.
Yeah.
But yeah, in my 20 some odd years of gaming, I've never played another FMV game. Cool. I think this was a good introduction.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I don't know if it is. It could be. It's one of the first full motion video of live actors games.
Right.
As you mentioned, Dragon's Lair and Space Ace influenced this game, mm-hmm. and they came out before this. I think Dragon's Lair came out in 1983.
So Space Ace was also animated?
Yes. Okay. Space Ace is the same type thing, except it's a guy in outer space.
All right.
I have that for the CDI. It's not very good.
Okay.
CDI games are not very good, but yes. So. This game, we are adding because of its influence. It's largely, we already added Mortal Kombat, but this is another game that was mentioned specifically when they created the ratings for video games during the congressional hearings, and the ESRB came out of that. This game was notorious in the 90s as, like, video games are bad influence on kids.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that so much controversy was created. Like, you know, Mortal Kombat's kind of obvious. You know, there were animated human sprites or whatever the, you know, term for it is. And, you know, you're ripping skulls off and spines out of their bodies.
Right.
It was very graphic. But for this to have the be in the same conversation as far as controversy and violence, like, it's kind of wild to think about. It seems very extreme, because there obviously movies of the time were as violent.
I don't know, because they're the scenes when so we can get into it, but the scenes, how the augers get blood out of people is very gratuitous, and there's something about it that, like, grabs me in a particular way, mm-hmm. that I'm like, this is weird and violent, and I don't necessarily like this.
So it's funny, I was reading, and apparently the long stick thing that they use to pull the blood out of it.
Yeah.
Apparently it was designed to appear as non-violent as possible.
Yes. So so this game was released in October of 1992. It was actually released 1 week before the Mortal Kombat arcade game came out. In the same year or so, in May of 1992, Wolfenstein 3D came out. In August, Super Mario Kart came out, just for some perspective. October, Virtua Racing came out, as well as Mortal Kombat, at the same time as this game. And in November, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 came out. So all around the same time, this was released. Originally released for the Sega CD, but you can also find it on... It's on the 3DO. It's also available for the 32X, for mm-hmm. Sega 32X, which yep. is just another CD version, but you had to have the 32X and it improved the resolution of the screen.
Was the 32X the thing that, like, plugged into yeah. the top of your Genesis or
yep,
whatever?
Yep. Okay. Came out for MS-DOS and Windows. Came out for... And then it was re-released recently for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and Vita. And so, developed by Digital Pictures. We mentioned that Digital Pictures came out of getting funded from Hasbro. The guy who originally would develop the prototype, his name was James Riley and Rick Lasavita. They came out of Atari. What they originally did was they had access to a VHS system called Nemo, Nemo was never ever mentioned outside, was the name of it. And essentially what it allowed you to do was play four VHS tracks at the same time. So you had a VHS you put in, and then it would play four different tracks, and you could mm-hmm. interact with it.
I assumed that you could like swap between them.
Yes. Right? Yeah. 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 Right. And then they created a prototype game called Scene of the Crime, which is available on the remakes. If you get a perfect score, which sounds fucking impossible, in Night Trap, it unlocks Scene of the Crime on the PS4, Switch, and Xbox One version.
Yeah, I mean, getting a perfect score in this game. So. Getting a perfect score entails capturing every auger. I think there's like 100 of them.
Yeah, and so just to, I don't think we described this yet, but so you're watching this movie, which is, as you mentioned, about this family who lures these kids to get their blood for the augers, right. who are like degenerate vampires.
Yeah, they're like half...
They're not.
They're like victims of vampires.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. And they are placed in these full, like, black body suits at the direction
because their skin falls off. Right?
Yeah. Well, because their skin falls off, but it was actually at the direction of Hasbro because they didn't want to make this too scary. So what they did was they put people in all black, and they didn't want them they didn't want them moving too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they move in the herky jerky manner, and that matches the music.
Do, right. do, 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 so do, do. I read too that the herky jerky manner. So all the augers were apparently played by stuntmen.
Okay.
And so the herky jerky
manner. I think everybody except for Dana Plato was a stuntman in this.
Right. So the reason they walked the way they did was because trap doors were falling out from underneath them, and they wanted to make sure they had, like, stable footing and, like, didn't hurt themselves as they fell through trap doors.
So one of the reasons why part of the things that Hasbro expected of them was to make the augers appear not too threatening,
mm-hmm.
because it's Hasbro funding a game for ostensibly kids.
Right.
And they didn't want them moving too fast. They didn't want them sucking blood or showing teeth in every scene. And they wanted them slow moving. Mm. And what it could have been also that they wanted to avoid trapdoors, but this is also something that came down from Hasbro.
Right.
This was filmed over 16 days. It sounds like the process to actually film this sounds insane. So they had to keep continuity between every scene. So as one scene finished, they walk into another scene, and they had to film that scene to make it look like they're walking from one scene to another.
Right.
So they're actually, and there wasn't software at the time to like move sections of movies around and really draw it out that way. So they had big, long pieces of paper where they had X scene filled in and different tracks.
Like timelines.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like, sounds pretty insane how they filmed this, and it sounds like a huge effort in order to get this done.
Right.
With the not the best payoff.
I think the game was commercially successful, wasn't it?
It made money. I don't know if it was commercially successful.
Because
there wasn't a lot of Sega CDs.
Right.
I think there was less, there was like a million Sega CDs sold.
Okay.
So, and not everybody bought Night Trap. So I think it also got notoriety after the fact when it was when the congressional hearing started coming up.
Oh, true. That
So part of this too, this movie had some people on it. So we mentioned that Dana Plato was on it. She was on Different Strokes as a child actress. Now the dude who plays the sunglasses dude who's a vampire,
right,
who's in the family.
Yeah.
His name is Jeff, I believe. He was in Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master.
Ah.
And
how
also,
could I forget?
And also the director of photography on this, his name is Don Burgess. He went on to be the director of photography on Forrest Gump.
I can see.
So.
That.
I mean, it's filmed okay.
Yeah.
It's just the game is not that successful. Yeah. But yeah, so this game and Sewer Shark were developed for the Nemo, which was the system for VHS. It eventually was canceled by Hasbro, but they kept making this, the game, because the executive producer of this, of the game named Tom Zito purchased the raw footage and he started the company Digital Pictures, which finished the project. And then he negotiated a deal. Originally he was going to put this out on, this Super Nintendo CD-ROM. Because he was negotiating a deal with Sony. But then he formed a deal with Sega after that didn't come into fruition. So that is the wild development history of this game. It is... I will say the story is... I love B-movies. So this is a B-movie.
Yeah. I personally enjoyed my time playing Night Trap more than I expected to. And I liked the story and the, you know, cheese. I thought they nailed the cheese. I thought it.
Do you have any memorable parts that stick out in your mind?
Memorable parts? Well, there's the Night Trap tennis racket guitar scene, which was
Night Trap.
Yeah, right.
It's very good. It's very good. You'll hear that in this podcast.
Another cool part is when I don't remember any of the girls' names, but when the tallest one takes out the frozen blood that looks like an ice pack.
Yeah.
And she, like, bites into it and finds out it's blood. That was memorable.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing was pretty memorable. I don't know. Like, the...
When the guy gives the lightning zapper, Eddie gives the lightning zapper to the kid.
Yeah. That's whatever. So Eddie is like a neighborhood kid or man.
I don't understand Eddie.
So Eddie comes out and he's like, knows what's going on. He's like, you guys are in danger.
Okay, so this is how this plays out. These girls roll up on this house to ostensibly stay the night with the girl who's their friend.
Right,
it's like, and also the house is supposed to be like this winery estate, but it's just a normal house.
Right, yeah.
Which is weird. But they roll up in the car. They get out, and this guy named Eddie, who looks wicked creepy, comes up and is like, hey, guys, there's something going on here. And is, like, just hanging out behind trees and just being
weird. He's, like, in the yard. Yeah,
yes.
Right.
It's very strange.
And then, so they tell him to scram, and he gets out. And
yeah, they say, bye, Eddie.
Away.
Hi, Eddie.
And then he shows up later because the little brother gets attacked by the augers, but runs away.
Yeah.
And he's like, you should take my laser gun that I designed. Like, I made two. I'll have one and you have one. And then the little brother goes in and zaps a auger.
Yes.
And then goes to the door and is about to zap another one that comes in. And then Eddie, like, takes off the mask and he's like, it's me. I'm Eddie. I'm going to keep, like, lurking around the house. But then I don't know if you ever see him again.
So, no, he gets into a trap. He gets pushed into a trap.
Oh, and so he dies?
Yeah, he dies, I guess. It's just, that's what happens. Also, I think...
What a waste of potential. They could have...
In the remake, they don't show it, but the little boy gets captured by the augurs.
They take him down to the basement, right?
Oh, okay.
What they were going to do was have Eddie roam around the house, and you'd have to recognize his ankles, because you can see his ankles.
That's way too tough.
That would have been cool if it was like, oh, okay, like, is this an actual auger, or is it Eddie? And then it's like, if you capture Eddie, it's a game over or something. That would have been a cool idea, but I wonder if they technically couldn't have done that.
I don't think so.
No?
So I had a note in here. The fuck is going on with Weird Eddie? That was my...
Well...
That was my note. So one of the choice pieces of dialogue, there's a lot of choice pieces of dialogue that we've already said, but one of them is the young boy talking to Eddie, and he says, "You mean they suck blood?" And Eddie replying back, "Oh, it's nothing personal. It's only the way they keep alive."
Yeah. I mean, he's right.
There's so many good pieces of line. There's one of the members of the Sega Control Attack Team, which is also... In the previous version, before it became a Sega product, it was known as the Special Control Attack Team.
Oh, okay.
And they made changes to make it more Sega. But when they come in at the end, when the African-American gentleman comes in at the very end,
mm-hmm.
he goes, "Vampires, you gotta be driving me!" That was really bad, too, because I was like, what is this accent that he's doing?
Well, so he pulls up in the taxi cab or whatever initially,
yeah.
and he's on the microphone, and he's like, "What do you think this time? Should we give him, like, the Jamaican accent?" And it's like, yeah, let's roll with that.
And then he does an accent, and it's not, it's, like, weird.
But and it's not obvious to me what that even accomplished. He went in there, and I guess... Maybe that was a recon mission. Is that what was the point of him going in?
There was no point. Yeah. There's a lot of things that are, like, the whole thing is really weird. I will say one of the things that worked for me in the video was them breaking the third wall and right. them talking to you at the very beginning. Yeah. It's like, who's this guy? And it was like, oh, he's talking to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, or when, it was pretty. Yeah.
Or when when she's like, "Are you ready? Are you ready, Control?"
Yeah.
That was pretty good. But those are like little things that work in here that you're like, okay. Some of this is going to work, but...
And have you... You know the similarities. Have you played Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
That's
essentially, like, the same concept, right?
Right.
Like the security camera swapping and
right.
stuff like that.
So this game has a legacy, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
I
don't know. I think the overall concept... I think they accomplished what they set out to do. I mean, I thought...
The one thing I'll say is that we have to really... We played the remake, and I've played Double Switch on Sega CD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the money to buy Night Trap right now, because that game's like $80 to $100 on Sega CD. But on the original format, the game is much worse.
Right, yeah. The Sega CD... I did watch the Sega CD version, and that looks... Like, even the video is pretty
trash. So, the video on Sega CD, is resolution is terrible.
Mm-hmm. And it's, like, choppy. And
it's a very small window on your screen.
Right.
On top of it, that affects the gameplay, like, so much is... you can't see the other videos playing. So, in the remake...
Yeah, the thumbnails.
Yes. In the remake, you have thumbnails where you can see what's happening on the other security cameras, which I think is what they originally intended... But they couldn't do it with the technology, because when they switched to Sega CD, it was like a huge downgrade for them, at least originally. Mm-hmm. The gameplay is so much worse on the original, because you can't see what's happening in the rest of the house.
Yeah, I tried on the remake to play that way, you know, with the still shot thumbnails. And it's doable. I mean, I was able to make it moderately far, but it does change the game significantly. Though I would say the downside to the thumbnails moving is that you basically just stare at the thumbnails rather than watch the video.
Well, I didn't even do that. I would look at it shows you the number of augers there are.
Right, and it's
as soon as it goes up, I was like,
augers that you,
And plus, whenever an auger appeared, it would change the video
from a still shot to a video, right? And you could see the lighting change and everything else.
So,
what was your favorite trap?
I like the bed in the bedroom. That was pretty good. That pushes you on the bed, and the bed springs you into the wall.
It's like two guys, like always, like yeah. two guys sitting on each other's laps on the bed, and then launched into the wall.
Yeah, it's really they use the same video a lot.
Right. Yeah, that was good. And the guy on the roof outside, and you like launch him.
That was also very good. Like a catapult.
And I like it too, because I think in the very beginning when they pull up in the driveway, there's a guy there that you can do it to.
Yeah.
And it's like they don't notice this guy like screaming, jumping, you know, flying through the sky.
Well, he's an auger. He doesn't scream. He's just, you know, there. When they go down to the basement, what happens?
Well, it's unclear because like the kid, the brother, goes down and comes back up.
Yeah, right.
And right, so what are the, and I guess you see in the closet in the kitchen or whatever where there's like that hatch where they pull the body up of the SCAT team member.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a freezer down there.
Also, what was that guy doing? Why would they just send in one guy with a machine gun? And why didn't he shoot anybody?
I'm gonna assume that the SCAT team has better, you know, tactics than we do. I can only trust that they're doing their jobs right.
They got me controlling the camera, so I guess they're doing a good job there.
Yep.
Even though I completely failed in this game.
and even in the good ending, the SCAT team gets destroyed. Like Kelly, I think, is the only one that can survive.
Yep. So this is a game. The big controversy about why this was like deemed like violence in video games is there's a scene where there's a girl in a nightie in the bathroom, and she gets augered.
Right.
There's
a guy in the shower.
Yes, there's a guy in the shower, and he comes out and does the do no 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 no.
Yeah.
But it puts a collar around the neck, and then there's like a screwdriver that goes into the neck, and they get the blood that way. And that for me, it seemed like very violent. They were trying to make it less violent when they did it that way, as opposed to sucking blood. But
yeah, it's hard for me to in 2019 think of the standards of 1993. I still feel as though I think that this, because it was an interactive thing, was just viewed differently than a movie.
Right.
It was held to a different standard.
Well, it's targeted for children. That's why it was held to a different standard. Right. Because if you think about it, in like when this game came out in 1992 and like they did these congressional hearings in the mid-90s.
So this was really marketed to children, you think?
Video games were just in general marketed to children. There wasn't like a scene for middle-aged men to be playing video games in the 90s. It's very different now. There's people in their 30s and 40s who are in control of video games industry. So in the 90s, whenever a person in Congress who was in their 60s or 70s saw a video game, they were like, oh, this is obviously for children. Mm. And that slowly changed over the course of the last 20 years, but it's a very different time. So this game, Mortal Kombat, and Lethal Enforcers were the primary drivers of those congressional hearings that created the ESRB. It's part of this game's legacy. Beyond what we said about this, so the main actress, Dana Plato, she died of a suicide in 1999, age of 34.
It was like an overdose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a suicide. So we mentioned there's remakes of this on modern consoles with better resolution, better everything.
It includes the prototype, like you mentioned.
Right, but
it's got like a random mode where like the augers will appear randomly.
Like a survival mode.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but as of 2017, Night Trap 2 was in development.
I would play Night Trap 2.
Yeah, well, you want to play the spiritual successor for Night Trap? Because there is one.
Oh, what is
I
that?
I have it over there.
Oh, tell me what
it's
it is.
It's called Double Switch.
Double Switch, okay.
Came out in 1993.
Also vampires?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll show it to you after this, but it's the lead character. You are Corey Haim.
Oh, okay.
Also involved in it is Blondie. She is
the artist.
The artist known as from the band Blondie. Can't remember her name at this point, but she is the lead singer from Blondie is in the game as well. She is part of it. It's a very different game. I'll show it to you, but it's definitely the spiritual successor. It's about security cameras and operating traps. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we mentioned that this game has a pretty rich legacy. in terms of games that have iterated on this.
Mm.
I think Five Nights at Freddy's is something you mentioned that is definitely something that takes from this game. But also a game that I just played called Observation, which just came out. If you think about it, it's like very similar type games. They're all about security cameras and operating different things from security cameras.
Right.
And I don't know if those games would... They might come out, if not for Night Trap. So I don't know if it's definitely a part of Legacy, but they probably have played those games in the past.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's an interesting game. We should start talking about where this goes on our list. And just before we get into that, too, I'll say that this is the second game released in 1992 that we have on our list. Madden Football 93 is the other one. First FMV game, first original released Sega CD game on our list. Third game published by Sega, including Super Hang-On and Pro Wrestling for the Sega Master System. And 18th game from the 1990s on our list. So.
They made a lot of games in the 90s.
They sure did. They made a lot of good games. And a lot of classic games that we talk about on our list. So where do you want to start here?
So do you want to start at the bottom and go up, or start, yes. You know, it's more fun, I think, to go up.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So this game is definitely better than Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. So the bottom of the list. Yeah. Pro Wrestling, Sega Master System, number 35. I agree completely. This game is better than that. I also think it's better than Pit Fighter.
It's more interesting.
More interesting.
I'd rather play Night Trap than Pit Fighter.
Yeah. Me as well. Yeah, I do want to play Night Trap more than Pit Fighter.
Yes.
Right, yeah. John Madden Football 93 is at 33.
I would say that this game's influence and legacy probably, and I think just how interesting this game is.
Yeah, I
would put
think
it ahead.
Is interesting. I think it's significantly more interesting than a yearly John Madden game.
Right, and it's not the first one that... It's not like the...
It's not even Madden 1.
It's not like the best Madden.
Right.
So, I would put this ahead of John Madden Football 93.
I would put it ahead of Contra Hardcore. At 32.
I don't know about that.
I mean, just speaking personally, I have already seen the whole video of Night Trap, you know, like I've seen the story, and I want to play this game again before I want to play Contra Hardcore. Contra Hardcore, you know, we've said it before, it's like just so punishingly difficult. Night Trap is, I think, difficult,
right?
But
it's more fun.
It's way more fun.
Yeah. I would probably put it ahead.
There's like entertainment value and plus, to Night Trap.
And plus just the legacy argument would put it ahead of Contra Hardcore.
Right.
So I put it on that Contra Hardcore. I would rather play Paperboy than Night Trap, personally.
So I wouldn't, but, so let's talk about it, I guess. You know, Paperboy...
I would say that Night Trap has a deeper legacy than Paperboy.
Okay.
And I would say it's probably a more interesting and innovative game than Paperboy. So we should probably put it ahead of Paperboy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sets out to create an interactive B horror movie, and it does that well especially for 1993 or 1987 or whatever, however you want to consider, you know, I mean, I like Paperboy, but you know, I think this has more depth to it, too. We didn't touch on it too much, but there's multiple endings. You can save or not save certain characters. Like, I think there's just... Especially when you consider how old both of these games are, I think Night Trap is just overall better.
All right.
Are you would agree to put it above Paperboy?
Yeah, I'll put it above Paperboy. And I would... If I'm going above Paperboy, I would also probably put it above Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, I would for the NES. I would as well. I think there's just not that depth is all that matters, but I just think it's a, you know, there's more game to it.
Yeah, but you see, now we come to a point where I personally like Pokemon Snap better as a game than Night Trap.
I think they're an interesting two games to compare to one another, because you've got Pokemon Snap that is obviously a, you know, it's a unique game.
Yes, and it's more game first than full motion video first. And it's kind of, because it's kind of similar where you're watching something play out and you're interacting with it.
Right. You know, it's funny though, not to suggest that it should go above Pokemon Snap, but I think Night Trap aged more gracefully than Pokemon Snap did.
Well, you'd have to see a remake.
I mean, even watching like the 3DO footage. I mean, I agree completely that the Sega CD version looks bad.
Right.
And is bad.
Yes.
But considering that those other, you know, there was a PC version or, you know.
Right.
Because playing Pokemon Snap recently, it aged worse than I thought it did.
Right.
But I do think, you know, Pokemon Snap gives you the ability to interact, I think, more with the thing that you're watching. You know, it's an on-rails experience, but you can have a much larger variety of things happen that are as a result of your influence.
I would say it's a more in-depth game
than
an experience than Night Trap.
Right. Whereas Night Trap, you're purely, you know, there's
set things. Right. And you have to play it over and over and over again to get it right. That's kind of similar.
And I think too that like, you know, it's more gratifying in Pokemon Snap to not do that well, but still take good pictures of some Pokemon and say, oh, okay, well, I have to go back to this level.
Nice
and,
like, shot.
And find new Pokemon. Or now I have a new item that I can do zany stuff with. Whereas this is, you're playing the same beginning sequence over and over. And
all right. So I think we have a new number 30 game.
I think we do too.
All right. We can do that.
Yeah. 30, Night Trap.
Let's put it on the list. Let's do it. Congratulations to being a top 30 game of all time.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I was doing a Control X, Control C, Control V. It's very good. New number 30 game is Night Trap on our list.
Sorry to Pro Wrestling, NES.
Sorry to Pro Wrestling. We pushed you back to 31.
It's got to fall to 31. It's just, you know, not that great of a game. It's no Night Trap.
It's no Night Trap. It's no Pokemon Snap.
Right, that, yeah, definitely.
Well, all right, Matt. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I just want to also give a shout-out. There was an excellent, if you want to really dive into Night Trap, there's an excellent documentary on this. It's like an hour and 20 minutes long. It's from My Life in Gaming on YouTube. So definitely check that out if you're interested in it. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can find us on our Twitter at It's So Bad Pod, or you can email us at Gmail. It's at, it's actually not at, it's So Bad Pod at gmail.com is the email for you to email us. Your questions, comments, or concerns, we will read them on the air if we ever do get them, which we never do, but we will someday get a question. It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com. But yes, come back next week for another episode. And thanks so much for Dos Cicchini Jr. for the music to this episode and all of our episodes. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much.